It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. On the first day of Sacrifice for Soto, we're asking John Middleton to sacrifice probably $750 million.
Not that big of a deal.
It's an investment. So we're all sacrificing and asking you to. Ike will eat a triple-decker mayonnaise sandwich. And
with cheese.
With cheese. Just to remind you, if you didn't know already, one of the things that I've known Ike for a long time now, and one of the things that has stuck with me is his hatred of mayonnaise. He hates mayonnaise so much that if something on the sandwich looks like mayonnaise, like if it's a white cheese rather than a yellow cheese, he's like, no mayonnaise. So Jack will name his soon-to-be second son, Juan. I will get a Juan Soto tattoo, and we're asking you to participate as well.
Come on, people.
215-592-9494.
And if any more losers calling in and say, I don't want him anyway. Yeah. Get drug tested. Yeah.
You know what it is? You can call, but we will get you to the other side. We will get you to the other side. Before we get back to the Juan Soto stuff, I was thinking about our show yesterday a little bit. And the show yesterday was basically about, do you think the Eagles have turned the corner? Are they Super Bowl contenders yet? Mm-hmm. And we're basically talking about this season. The thing that I want to ask about, and we talked about this a lot, I think, during training camp and the beginning of the season, was have you mentally turn the page on last season in that, I know we're not thinking about last season, but in thinking, okay, that's behind us. We don't have to worry about that anymore. What happened here with the team last year? Ike, are you in a place where the collapse last year, everything that happened is not something that you need to think about with this team at all?
Yeah. And I've been there, you know, I can remember arguing with Jack a little bit earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it was after the Falcons game. I know it was after one of the earlier games that they lost that, you know, he was still saying that he feels like last year was still lingering. And he wasn't the only one. There's plenty of people that felt like last year was still lingering around this team. And it was concern there that they could easily fall back into that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the signs were there, that there wasn't any lingering effects from last year. I'll just say that I wasn't getting the sense that that was the issue. And that was a real issue, that most of what happened last year had sort of been resolved and everybody was pulling in the same direction. But winning also helps.
You sure?
Winning helps. And so I do believe, even as they sit here at 5-2, that they have moved past that last year. You know, I go back to that quote yesterday I read from Jalen, and that is telling to me. Now, we poke fun at him because he's Jalen. He's back to pulling out quotes again, that sort of thing. But in a nutshell, what he's saying is, I learned from my mistakes from a year ago. In areas in where maybe I could have been better, I could have been different, and it might have helped that I didn't realize in that moment, that I later realized that I could have been of help. And so now I don't want to go back and make those same types of mistakes. So if, for instance, adversity arose, it was there.
It did. That's a great point.
And so they seemingly figured out a way to not let it spiral out of control. Stay on the same page, stay connected. We talked about a lot of connectivity from last year being disconnected. They seem to have stayed connected, and even if they use what we may determine as a false sort of narrative, which is us against the world, us against the media, us against the fans, that sort of thing, rally behind the coach, it's manufactured. But I'd rather them do that and pull together versus splinter apart.
Sure.
So I do feel like they're past that. To answer your question, I do feel like they're past that.
So obviously I can't know whether they are.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you it's still in the back of my mind. And here's why. People can change. I don't necessarily think that Kelce or Fletcher, I'm thinking about the players who aren't here anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think my gut tells me Kelce and Fletcher Cox, probably not the source of discontent. They were there.
No, they probably held it together as best they could, as long as they could.
They were there. Reddick, I don't know, maybe.
It could have been.
But I think about it this way. It is like, And it's been a long time since I've had to deal with this because thankfully I've not had to deal with this with my in my current relationship. But you think about being cheated on, right?
Right.
And sometimes people stay together after they've been cheated on. Mm-hmm. And the time that it takes to actually have that be gone is a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, if ever, if it's not, you know, it will pop into your head. Well, wait a minute. Where the
hell especially she, for the person who was cheated on. Yes.
So I guess.
It never leaves.
I guess what I'm thinking with them is, well, all of the principles are in place. And I know that sounds unfair. You know, Jalen's still there. Nick's still there. You know, a good portion, yeah, the roster's probably 75% the same as last year, whatever mm-hmm. it is. So I guess. In my head, until I don't feel it anymore, I will think to myself, if they lose a couple games in a row, I know what's going to pop into my head is going to be, oh, here we go again. And I did think it already. And I did say, hey, sure. Look, this Giants thing is the Giants game's a big deal. The Bengals game's a big deal. All the things you said are true. They did react in a different way this year than they did last year. But I guess until I just, the lingering thing in the back of my head is still there. It's still there. Is that if it happened once, it can happen again. And credit to them for reacting the way that they
can
did this
happen.
Year.
It can happen on any team. Like any team.
That's absolutely
like,
true.
Yeah, it certainly can happen. But I think if your leaders have matured, because here's the thing that I'll say. You use the example of someone being cheated on. That is an act that you can point directly to that happened, that's undeniable.
Right.
Sometimes there's friction there and you don't know where the friction really originates from. Somebody got mad about this.
Right.
You know, you coached them too hard or this and the other. Whereas one side may be upset and the other side don't even know, like, what are you mad about? Like,
right.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I don't know if last year had more to do with some of that versus a real sort of infraction or something being committed towards someone that they have to get over. Like, in other words, for example, a player wasn't put on a trading block.
Right.
You didn't trade him, and now he's still here, and you got to make him feel like you never wanted to trade him.
It's more like a rough patch than a cheated on.
Yeah.
It's more like a, man, we had a couple of months there where we just weren't vibing.
You left the toilet seat up. I didn't know. Like something, you didn't take the trash out. Like, enough things. Honestly, that's what it is. Enough things piled up that it became a big thing, and then you couldn't get out of it.
Sure.
So I think – if the two main leaders there, because that's where it starts at.
Nick and Jalen.
Yes, of course. If that's working okay, I think everybody else will be fine. Everybody else is manageable. They aren't significant enough. You know, maybe an AJ is. There's only a certain few players that is significant enough that it can derail a team. It's usually the main guys that when something happens with the quarterback or the head coach or the star player on the team, when he's not, like a T.O., for example. Like, if the star player isn't happy, then that can derail the team.
Well, and that, by the way, all of that goes back to why it was important for the Jalen's, you know, his words publicly about Nick were important.
I mean, whether he was doing it intentionally or not, or he was being naive, his lack of public endorsement created more issues there that didn't need to be there.
Right.
It created a tension there that didn't need to be there.
Jack, are you clean slate from last year yet? Are you?
No, because honestly, I need to see what happens when they eventually lose again. I think they're in a good spot. They're going to lose again.
I know they're going to lose again. Exactly. That's what I'm pointing. Like, what do you mean? They're going to lose again.
But I want to see how they react after they lose because they're in a good spot right now and things are going well. But there's still a part of me that if this doesn't go like great for a little bit here, can they pull themselves back out of it? Is the right leadership in place? I hope it is.
Let me ask you this. See, this is why I always say it's unfair. No one questions the leadership with the Phillies.
Well.
No one questions in-house, clubhouse. No, I'm just talking about they lost. They didn't show up in big moments. Like, no one's saying, is there an issue in the clubhouse? or blaming. My only point is that you can lose games without there being
yes.
some sort of internal issues in there just because you don't play well.
No, I think what he's saying is will the losing spark the internal issues, not are the internal issues sparking the losing? I think that's what you're saying, right? Is
mostly
is how they will handle the losing as opposed
they've
to...
They've already showed you that this year.
Yeah, well,
can it be any worse than it was the first year? They want the coach fired
yes.
after 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
But they're getting a bump out of that now.
All I'm saying is they didn't spiral out of control and start. If it was going to happen, that's when it was going
to
happen.
It certainly had an opportunity
to. Yeah, early in the season when you don't have wins in your bank to sort of lean on. Like, if it was going to happen, that's when it was going
to
happen.
Well, and to giving Jalen credit also for publicly, Nick has also shifted his tone publicly as well. You know, I give him credit as well. They've both, I think, come a long way.
Yeah.
In doing what.
But Nick's never had a problem.
No, internally.
Jalen.
Yeah. No, but I think knowing what Jalen's hot buttons are, and I think Nick fighting with the fans is probably one of those things that he isn't thrilled with or whatever. It, not the kind of stuff that he loves.
Well, Jalen's not in Nick's position of being basically neutered and saying you don't mean anything to the team.
Yes,
and
yes.
So that's a different battle to me that Nick is battling. Nick is battling for his standing within the organization to be respected as a head coach.
Sure. I think they've both evolved in positive ways to come closer to what works for everyone. I think they've both evolved in that way.
Yes.
215-592.
I just think the quarterback needed to do the majority of it.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I'm perfectly fine with saying that.
I'm glad you're saying it.
Yeah, I've said it. Yes. He needed to do it the most.
Right. 215-592-9494. What will you sacrifice for Juan Soto? The movement begins today. Sacrifice for Soto. Ann and Glenn Mills, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike.
Ann?
Ann?
Oh.
Ann?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay. So I really believed that my sacrifice was the biggest sacrifice any human being could make.
Ooh.
And until I heard the guy who would give up his son. So,
well, we baited him into it.
By the way,
he gave it up very quickly.
Very quickly. That kid must be a pain in the ass.
At only 19, there's a lot of growth there.
Yeah. Well, you have the physical signs already of what he's going to
be. Yeah. He's not going to be a stud in the league, but.
This is the second biggest sacrifice.
Okay, what's yours?
Mine is, I called in at the trade deadline and I talked to you and said, you make me throw up in my mouth every time you talked about Pete Alonso and the Phillies.
Okay, sorry.
So my sacrifice is that I will tweet a picture of Pete Alonso inside a heart with floating bubbles for 30 days straight, hopefully showing him in his new Chicago White Sox uniform, because that's the only team that's going to take him. And I'll do that for the first 30 days of the season. If we get Soto, that's my sacrifice.
You really hate Pete Alonso.
Oh, I just
my girl, like Ann. My girl. He is the worst.
Hold on, he might be a Philly.
Yeah, how about if we miss out on Soto?
Oh, God.
I'll sacrifice myself off this show.
We move Bryce to left field.
Easy there.
Sacrifice myself, you know.
I would have to move away.
Well, he did a lot more during the playoffs than some of our guys.
Uh-oh.
I'm calling it like I see it.
I know.
Yeah.
That's mine.
All right, okay. Ann. We'll take it. That's a good one. Do you want to give up a child? We're giving you the opportunity.
Thank God. No, I don't have any children to give up. So
okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
Are the kids around here safe?
Yeah. No. Not for Juan Soto.
Parent is ready to give them up.
Number one in on-base percentage, I think, or number two. I think he was 2-2 Judge this year in on-base percentage. He's 2 or 3. 215-592-9494. Now, our next caller has some inside information in that Tyree from North Philly was on the golf course that Jeff Lurie, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and Obama were playing at yesterday. You were there?
Yes, sir. I was right behind him. I was in the group right behind.
Were you playing or?
Yes, Spike. He was playing.
No, he wasn't. That's why I asked.
What are you doing out there?
He was the caddy.
Oh, you were a caddy.
Caddy out there.
I'm just trying to lead him there.
My bad. Yeah, I'm like.
You're
what?
Like, why can't he be playing golf? I'm just. You know, that's Jack's thing,
no,
not
you're
me.
Right. No, yeah. no, you're okay. right. You're right.
Why
you're
is
right.
it my thing?
Well, you know. All right. So,
hold on. Can we ask where they were?
Say it again.
Can we ask where they were? Like, where were they playing at?
Oh, they're at Marion.
Okay.
Ah, of course it was Marion.
There you go.
Jeffrey's a new member.
Yeah, Jeff got it. held down over there.
Well, do you? So, did you? Can Jalen play? Did you? Can you give us any inside info on their golf game?
Yeah, who looked? Yeah, who had the best swing? Who had the worst swing?
Yeah.
So Jalen didn't play. Jalen
told you.
He just walked around.
Yeah. Oh, he's not a golfer.
Did he putt for Saquon? Did he putt for Saquon?
Jalen was just there just to be in the group, just to be around and to pretty much talk to Barack.
I'll tell you, Tyree, because Ike and Jack play golf. Mm-hmm. The thing that I can't play golf because of my back, but the thing that I would like to do with golf is it just seems like a nice afternoon. So I was thinking if we ever do a golf tournament, I was like, I'll just walk it with everybody, hang out.
It's
so relaxing.
Despite the majority of us can't play.
Right, but I can't play at all. I'm not even swinging the club. So Saquon seems like he can play a little bit.
Yeah, Saquon can play a little bit. He was struggling getting off the tee a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that swing. I saw that form. That looked like me.
Yeah, looks like he's swinging down, like trying to hit a line drive. That's not.
But I can say his second shot. See, I've seen him hit a lot of his second shots after he couldn't get off the tee. That iron into the green.
Oh, okay,
he is some good ones.
And what about Obama?
On
now, presidents play a lot of golf.
Oh, yeah, that dude.
Obama
was a golfer. Yeah, he was probably the best in the group.
Obama was the best in the group.
Yeah, I was going to say he probably was the best
in
the group.
And he's tall and thin. He's got a good body, right?
And he's playing a lot of it.
Yes.
Yeah, you said it most. Yeah, he's playing a lot of golf. Plays a lot of golf.
I got to walk up and introduce myself. He shook my hand. It was a legendary day.
That
had to be pretty cool, man. Yeah.
And Obama all in one. Man,
now, how are we getting Fritz and Reese? I mean, come on. Hey,
my boy Deion caddy for Ike at the Eagles outing.
Oh, he did? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Hope to be back out there next year.
Any reports on Ike's game?
Hell, I could tell you, I could tell you, yeah.
He was whacking that thing.
All right, Tyree. We appreciate you checking in, man.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you, boys.
All right, brother.
All right, Tyree. Yeah, Marion, there are no golf carts. So it has to be a caddy. You have to walk.
I want to walk.
Yes, you would. Nice. Yes, yeah. You're a walker. Yep, so you wouldn't have a problem with that.
How long does it take to walk a force? Are you talking 5-6 hours, something like that?
Four and a half.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a good golfer, it's probably going to take 4 hours, no more than four and a half. If we're shanking the ball all over the place, we could probably be out there for 5 hours.
And here's my take on golf and the carts and walking it. If you're one of those people that wants to consider golf a sport, you have to walk.
That's when you realize that it is a sport. That's when you realize that they're athletes.
Yeah, you can't be riding around like a child on a Hot Wheels or whatever. There's not Hot Wheels.
They always talk about Augusta's a hard walk. That's why Tiger was struggling the last couple of years.
A lot of up and down hills.
Tough walk. Tough walk.
Yeah. That's a pretty good foursome, man. I shouldn't have known.
Of course Jalen wasn't playing.
Yeah.
He's not a golfer, but at least he came out there to hang out.
Yeah. Twist my arm. Obama's there? All right, I'll be there.
Give him credit. Give him credit. Yes. He went out.
And believe me, just walking around on the golf course and you're not playing.
It's pretty boring.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah. I would love a recording of that entire conversation.
See, we should have did a side question on your foursome.
Yes. Well,
who's in our foursome, Jack?
That could go the wrong way.
Yeah,
I got Fritzy in my foursome.
Yeah, let's go.
Please clip that.
Oh, stop, man.
Come on, Spike. Grow up a little bit.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Me.
Your go-to foursome?
Yeah. What would your go-to foursome be?
Well, Bryce, obviously.
Does he play golf?
I don't think so.
He doesn't?
I don't think so.
I think all baseball players play golf.
Nah, like Schwarber golf. I think JT's the best golfer.
I bet you Schwarber hits the golf ball 350.
Mile.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no short game with Schwartz, though.
Yes.
No short game.
He's a driver and a pitching wedge or a sand wedge every green.
Tiger's in our foursome.
Gotta have Tiger in our foursome.
I got to play Tiger once.
I think Tiger and...
So you have Jack. You have one more spot.
Steph?
Yeah, Steph's good.
Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike plays MJ.
Oh, I'd much rather hang out with Michael Jordan for now. You have to go in with a pocket full of cash.
We lighten it up, man. Yeah, that's going to cost us money. Yeah, it's going to cost us money.
You're going to be betting that entire time.
Yeah, the damn show ain't letting you just play for free.
You know who you might rather have than Jordan is Charles. Because Charles is a bad golfer and also
definitely
bets.
Would rather have Charles than Mike, yes. Without question.
Yeah, because you know Jordan would take it way too seriously.
Yeah, he's going to ruin the jet. He's going to ruin the whole
throwing club.
Well, yeah. No, I think now my dad has played with Barkley a lot. Yeah. I think Barkley has thrown clubs before as
well. Well, listen, we've all thrown clubs.
Okay.
Yes.
All
yeah.
Right. Something like, you know, taking the joy out of it.
Yeah. Yes, but yeah.
There's nothing wrong with
it's
a good
club.
Sometimes
you get frustrated out there on that golf course.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
When I was a senior and I was playing in the playoffs for golf,
yeah,
snapped my driver on the second hole.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like Bo Jackson around on your knee?
No, it wasn't like that. I'm surprised it snapped.
I just hit it on the ground like that?
Yeah.
I'm good to do one of those. I know I'm going to snap my club here one of these days.
So you're supposed to get disqualified if you break a club, the PIAA rules.
Yeah.
So I had to fake prop it up so no one could see me. With a driver in my bag, bro.
We've seen Jack Matt.
Oh, really?
We're doing the Phillies games.
Oh, yeah.
So that's him on the golf course too now.
Last thing, and then we'll get back to the sacrifice for Soto. The maddest I've ever seen Jack during a baseball game, and I had the opportunity now. The two games at Citi Field, and I was with him for game two at Citizens Bank Park.
Opportunity is an interesting word here.
Yeah, well, one, the time I had to calm him down for screaming curse words around children, that was a moment, but I've had to do that before. Jack, during Jeff Hoffman's inning, the second inning he pitched at Citi Field, and he walked a guy. Jack screaming into his hat and biting his shirt or something.
Yep.
You were as mad as I've ever seen a human being.
Yeah. I don't really get mad often.
Yeah.
You were
pretty laid back.
You were
golf,
mad.
Oh, no, you never did. Golf, I've seen him mad on the golf course.
Yeah.
Driving. And Phillies games.
Oh my God, yeah. I was worried for you a little bit actually.
That's my goal. That's my brand.
I was thinking to myself, we're not supposed to be standing here. We have press credentials on,
right.
And I got this lunatic screaming
He's
into
get
his hat.
Out of here.
Yes, we're gonna have to go stand with the Mets fans. All right, 215-592-9494. What will you sacrifice for Juan Soto? Like, guys. I think the most popular new segment on the show is coming up with Broads, Flyers and 50. I can't wait to find out how Michkov is doing according to Broads. Of course, I can look at the stats and see the game, but Broads really knows what he's talking about and see if Broads can fit this all into 46 seconds. Is that where we are, Jack? 46 seconds?
Yes.
All right, that's coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.